message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
To us to be here again tonight in the midweek service, and we're happy and glad because we know that none of us here will go back empty-handed in the name of Jesus. Let me hear you say a louder amen. Let me hear you say a louder amen. If you were here on Sunday, the first service, the second service, and you were tremendously blessed, shout hallelujah. If you were as blessed as I was blessed, let me hear you shout a loud hallelujah. And I know that tonight, God will bless someone again in Jesus' name. If you are that person, let your amen roar like thunder. Let your amen roar like thunder. Tonight is a communion service, and we are trusting God that the Lord will speak to us on the major area that we have been on since we started the series on Sunday. I spoke to us extensively on supernatural speed on Sunday, and I told us, amongst other things, that God wants to grant us speed, and I proved it from the Bible. God wants you to be successful. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be productive. And I said, one of the major areas, or one of the major things that brings about speed and success in life, is what we call vision. What is vision? I said, vision is the unfolding of God's plan for a person's life. It might not be what you wish to do or what you wish to become, but that is God's unfolding plan for your life. And tonight, I'll be speaking on locating and embracing vision. Locating and embracing vision. Vision, like I said, is God's plan and purpose for your creation. The reason, the purpose why God created you is His vision for you. And anywhere you are, is no vision in a person's life, the life is a frustrated life. In Proverbs 29, verse 18. I would say, where there is no vision, the people perish. The perish there is not talking about death. It's talking about a life that has no meaning. Any life where there is nothing that is being pursued or nothing that God has shown to the person to pursue in life, the life has no meaning. And vision is a covenant seed for speed. Vision is what bad speed. You can't be speeding in a direction that you don't know. You can't be moving in a direction that you don't know, or you don't know where you are going, where you are actually going. It is when you know where you are going and you move with speed that they say this person is successful. But when a person is moving and is not a person that has a vision of what God wants him to become or wants him to do, it's a life in futility. Tonight, what are the important facts about locating your vision? Important facts about locating vision. Number one is that you have a vision to fulfill, and it's your duty to locate it. Number one fact about vision location is that God has a purpose why He created you, and it is your duty to locate that vision. It is your duty to locate the reason why God created you. Number two important facts about locating vision is that people flourish where there is vision, and people perish where there is no vision. People excel where there is no vision. People fail where there is no vision. People flourish where there is a vision, and people perish where there is no vision. Number three, important fact about the location of vision is that locating your calling or your vision brings you into honor, dignity, and joy. Locating why God created you, locating the reason why you are on earth, brings you into dignity, brings you joy, and brings you honor in life. Number four important facts about locating a vision is that locating vision, or the reason why God created you in this life, gives you a focus in life. you are focused, and so you become a focus in life. Only those who have a focus become a focus in life. And you are focused only because you know where you are going. So you are not branching here and there. You are not going from one place to another. You are not minding another person's business. Because you have a vision. Because God has placed something in your heart to do for Him. And for your community, for your nation, for your generation. You have a focus on where He's taking you to. Number five important facts about locating vision is that you can easily locate vision when you have a desire for it. You can easily locate God's vision for you, but you must have a desire. Somebody say desire. You must have a desire for it. God can't just give you your vision without a desire like that. You must have a desire in your heart. Father, why did you create me? What is your purpose for my existence? What is the reason why you brought me into this world? Reveal it to me. Show it to me. I want to know my Father. If you have a desire, an expectation, then He's bound to answer your prayers. Number six important facts about vision location is that desire leads to inquiry. When you have a desire to know your vision, it leads to inquiry. And inquiry leads to acquiring. You have a desire and it leads to inquiry. Your desire leads you into inquiry. And inquiry leads you to acquiring, which you also call locating. You have a desire, it leads you to inquiry. Question. You are asking questions. And then because you are asking questions, you get answers. You will get answers this day in Jesus' name. I say you will get answers this day in Jesus' name. And of course, I'm talking about important facts about the location of vision, the location of God's purpose for one's life. And lastly, important fact is locating vision is a personal thing and not a collective affair. Brother, twins born from the same mother might not have the same vision from God. Might not have the same destination from God. Each of them must locate the reason why God brought him to this world. Each of them must find out the purpose of his creation. The purpose why he's here or why she's here. My prayer for everyone here tonight is that you will locate and you will continue to locate more and more, because vision is unfolded in faces. Vision is unfolded in faces. One face comes at a particular time and another face comes at a particular time. God cannot show you everything about your future at once. He will be showing you in faces, little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept. Somebody say a big amen. God will help someone to locate his vision tonight. And God will help somebody to move to the next level of God's vision for his or her life tonight in Jesus' name. Tonight, I'll be dwelling on something very important. Having set the foundation tonight, I'll be looking at something very important which will lead to speed. And that is, how do you locate God's purpose? How do you locate God's vision for your life? We'll look at that tonight and then we'll go into praying extensively. How to locate vision. How to locate God's purpose for one's life. Number one way to locate God's purpose and vision for one's life is through inspiration, through scriptures. Inspiration, through scriptures. You must realize, beloved, that God is a speaking God. And one of the major mediums that God speaks is through the Bible. Through the word of God. God always speaks through his word. And anytime you open the Bible and you see something that pertains to you and you receive it in faith, it births a vision in your heart. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and it is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, and instruction. For vision, it is given to you to direct your affairs. The word of God, the scripture, shows you a picture of your future. Anytime you open the Bible, it shows you a picture of how your future can look like. You look at the life of Esther, and you say, how can somebody who is an orphan without father and mother be so great in life? Then you catch a vision from there. You catch a picture from there. You look at the life of Joseph. Despite the fact that this guy has so many enemies, internal enemies, external enemies everywhere, he still succeeded. Then you catch a vision from there. The word of God always births vision in our hearts. The word of God always prompts. It will design a picture of how your future will look like. It's unfortunate that many believers just read the scripture like a storybook. They don't really get what it's actually trying to say. And the more you open the Bible, the more you look at the picture it's showing you, the more you are able to future in your future. My prayer for somebody here tonight is that you will not lose your future in Jesus' name. I say you will not lose your future in Jesus' name. So every time you study the Bible, you study to get a picture of your future. You get a vision of what is showing you. Because the Bible is a book where God uses to lead us. In Isaiah 48 verse 17. Isaiah 48 verse 17. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way thou shouldest go. So God is a teacher. And one of the ways he teaches us on what to do is through the Bible. And that's why the Bible must be your friend. The Bible must not be something that you read once in a while. I stumbled on something recently. A pastor went to somebody's house to greet them. And they set the table for him with the family. And they sat down together. They were eating. And as they were eating, they placed their Bible on the table. And after they finished the dinner and they left, they were looking for the special spoon that they gave to the pastor. They could not find it. And they said, how can a whole pastor come to our house and steal a spoon? So the bitterness was inside their hearts. Our pastor stole a spoon. Pastor stole a spoon. I can't imagine it. And they did that for 1 year. They will come to church and they'll be looking at him from afar. Say, this pastor stole a spoon, golden spoon. Why will he do that? Can't he just ask us for this spoon? And after 1 year, they went, the husband just, you know how men are, he just went to him and said, pastor, you did something. You did something that pained me. He said, what? He said, when you came to our house 1 year ago, you stole our golden spoon. He said, go to your Bible, go and check it. You will see your golden spoon there. So when they got back home, they opened the Bible and they saw the golden spoon in front, in the middle of the Bible. What does that tell you? For the past 1 year, they've not opened their Bible. For the past 1 year, the Bible was like a decoration. The Bible under your pillow does not give you vision. It is the Bible in your heart that gives you vision. Because some people, they put Bible under the pillow. Some people, they sleep on it. Some people carry their leg on it. Some people even tear it. And they put it inside Gary, they drink it. That does not make Bible to enter you. It is the reading of the Bible that makes the Bible to enter your spirit. It is the reading, the studying of the Bible that makes the Bible. And that is where you catch vision. My prayer for somebody here tonight is that you will not live a wasted life. This is the manual for attracting vision. This is the manual for getting new direction. When you are so confused about what to do, you don't know what to do, your life is confused, maybe things are not going well, just sit down with this Bible. Just sit down with this Bible. Just settle down with it. You will catch new vision. When you are feeling dry, you are feeling down, your spiritual life is just going down, you don't even know what to do again. It's like your life doesn't have bearing. You don't have vision again. Settle down with this Bible. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, you will see that you will come alive. You will come alive. Somebody's spirit is coming alive today. I say somebody's spirit is coming alive today. So number one way to locate vision is through the Bible. As you are studying, you are able to get more insight, more revelation. Number two way to locate vision is to seek God in prayers. Seek God in prayers. Seek God in prayers. Prayer is a major medium for getting vision. The more you pray, the more you assess vision. If your desire is to get vision, then pray more. The more you pray, the more you assess vision from God. Daniel was a man of vision. He was a man of insight. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 particularly, he said, I set my face to seek the Lord in prayer and in supplication. Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 and verse 4 particularly. I set my face to seek the Lord, and I prayed unto the Lord my God. He set his face to pray and to seek God. As a result of this, he got revelation. Daniel was a man of unusual revelation. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, he was a man that prayed. The Bible says he opened his window and he prayed 3 times a day, like he normally does. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. They wanted to get him, they could not get him. He said, it's only in the area of prayer that we can get this guy. And he opened his window, he knelt down and he prayed 3 times, like he normally prays every time. The reason why there's so much bankruptcy of vision. No, it's as if Christians are confused. And that's why fake prophets are selling very well. Because most believers don't know what to do. And the reason is because there is so much prayer deficiency. There is so much prayerlessness in the body of Christ. Presently now. If your desire is to catch a vision, then stay in the place of prayer. Stay in the place of prayer. Stay in the place of prayer. I once visited our copper's lodge some time ago. And as I saw open space everywhere, I laughed. I said, this is a fantastic place. If I were living here, all this place, we know that someone is living here. They started laughing. I said, yeah. Because this is like there's no heat here. There are trees everywhere. Beautiful place. Grass everywhere. You can pray up, pray down, prostrate. Just pray. Prayer opens your eyes to what God is telling you. Prayer opens your ears to what God is trying to tell you. You can see what He's telling you. You can hear what God is telling you. And so, beloved, if your desire is to catch a new vision, or you have a vision already that God has, you want to move it to the next level, you want to step up your game, then you must spend more time in the place of prayer. People that spend enough time on their knees don't really have to struggle on their feet. When you spend enough time on your knees, many don't have any secret place of prayer. Many don't have any, there's no quiet time. There's no noisy time. Nothing, no time for anything. Father, I just thank you today. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to you for waking me up today. Yes, take care of me today. Yes, I must not catch coronavirus as I go. Thank you very much. Amen. And they are going. The next time they will pray is at night on the bed. And so vision is lacking. Vision is deficient. Many are not seeing anything. God will not force vision on you. You have to, in Jeremiah 3 verse 3, he said, call upon me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call upon me. That is, spend time with me. Spend time with me. I'm hungry to spend time with you. I want to speak to you. There's nothing you want to hear from God you can't get in minimum of 3 days with Him. Minimum of 3 days with God in prayer, you will get it. And if you are very, very smart, you add fasting to it. Within 3 days, you will get it. I don't know if this guy is the right guy. I don't even know if I should start this business. 3 days. Just 3 days. Lock yourself inside the room. Just 3 days. By the time you come out, you come out as a man and a woman of vision that knows where he's going. As from today, you will know where you are going. I say you will know where you are going. I say you will know where you are going. Say a big amen. So prayer is very vital for a believer who is going to ever become something in this life. Prayer is very vital because prayer opens you up to what God is saying. Prayer opens you up to the voice of God. Prayer opens you up to revelation. If you read that place very well in the book of Daniel, you see that at that particular time, Daniel needed to have a better understanding of the reason for the captivity, the extended captivity. And he was able to get it in the place of prayer. He was able to get it in the place of prayer. Adding fasting to it for about 21 days. There is no level that you cannot get to in terms of vision with prayer. And as from today, the spirit of prayer comes upon somebody in the name of Jesus. The spirit of prayer comes upon somebody in the name of Jesus. Let me hear you say a big amen. Let me hear you say a big amen. Let me hear you say a big amen. Number three, I'm talking about how to locate vision. Number three is to be watchful. Be a watchful person. Vision comes when you are watchful. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1. Be watchful. Having prayed, watch to see what God will show you. I will stand upon my watch and I will set me upon a tower. And I will watch to see. 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 Many only pray. They don't wait to watch to see. They just pray and leave the place. You have to wait and watch and see. Watch to see what he's about to say. Praying is calling upon God to show his plan. Watching is conditioning your spirit to receive his plan. Praying is telling God, Father, show me the next plan for the next 7 years. Show me the next plan in this work I'm doing for you. Show me the next thing I'm supposed to do. That's praying. But watching is conditioning your spirit to pick divine signals. You pick the signals. For somebody here today, you will not make mistake. I say you will not make mistake. I say you will not make mistake. I say you will not make a mistake. Let me hear your loudest amen. You know, this ministry, there was no gambling or guesswork in this ministry. The name of this ministry, you know, usually when God wants to start a ministry, you can have like 5-6 names. There was no other option apart from this name. I was in an hotel room in Victoria Island. I was working in a particular organization and I went for a meeting in Lagos. And as I entered my hotel room and I just wanted to pray, I heard the word Impact House. I was in a place of prayer. Just like that. And I was like, is it possible that a name like Impact House will not exist worldwide? I mean, it looks so absurd because the name looks sweet and the name looks good. So immediately in that place, I sent a text to my wife and I said, this is what God just told me now, right here in this hotel room. So when I got back home, I sent to Abuja to do a search. There was no search twice that maybe, okay, let's change the name. No. That name was available because God spoke in the place of watching and waiting. There was no, okay, let us change the name, let us remove the house and put chapel, or let's put, you know, those kind of manipulations and permutations. When you watch, you can pick divine signals. When you are in the place of watching, you can pick what God is about to do next. My prayer for someone here today is that in the place of watching, God will show you something. I say God will tell you something. Let me hear somebody say a big amen. Number four is accessing vision via the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not, Romans chapter 8 verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit maketh intercessions for us with groaning which cannot be altered. So the Holy Spirit is a major medium for showing us things. The Holy Spirit shows us things. In 1 Kings 19, verse 11 to 18, I know you know the story very, very well of when Elijah was prostrated. And then via the Holy Spirit, he received instruction. He received instruction. The wind came and God was not there. The earthquake came and God was not there. Even the fire came and God was not there. But when the still small voice came, God was there. He received instruction via the Holy Spirit. Most of the time, the Holy Spirit will not shout when he's talking to you. He will not shout. When he's talking to you, he will not shout. He will just speak to you in a still small voice. That man there, that is your husband. Just this. He will not be shouting to you, "Yes, your husband. You can't you see? Are you blind? What do you mean?" No, he will not do that. He will just speak to you in a still small voice. Like a whisper. Giving you clear cut direction on the next thing to do. On the next step to take on the journey you have started. Do you know why many are very frustrated in the journey of life? Many don't listen to the voice of the Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if your desire is to move to your next levels and to get the better part of your life accomplished, you must learn to be submissive to the Holy Spirit. Sensitivity to the voice of the Spirit makes you access vision and direction. You must be. That's why a Christian must not be carnal. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is what? Life and godliness. It is peace unto you. A Christian must not be carnal. You must give the Holy Spirit the space in your heart to be able to stay there and to be able to communicate with you. As from today, the Holy Spirit will be communicating with you. On your bed, he will be communicating with you. Everywhere you are, he will be communicating with you. Somebody say a big amen. Somebody say a big amen. All the problems of life are very easy through the Holy Spirit. It will just make it very easy. It will just make it very easy. The problem that looks so complicated, it will just make it very easy, very cheap. And then before you know it, he just solves it by his power and by his leading. I remember many years ago, there was a young man in the church I was pastoring then. And he lied to me that he was going to London for holiday, not knowing that he was going with his friends to Ghana to go and do all these ATM scams. And when he called me from cell, he was about to be jailed. And then with the heart of a pastor, I asked God for mercy for him. And I said, "God, what do I do on this matter?" And I felt in my spirit that I should go there. And I spent just 3 days in an hotel room. And I prayed on an handkerchief. I mean, because you cannot access him. And I prayed on the handkerchief and I went to him. And I said, "There's nothing I can do. You have been sentenced. But I have prayed on this for 3 days through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And I passed it through the thin line of the cell." And I left him. And I prayed for him and I came back to Nigeria. Not long after that, I saw somebody enter my office. It was this same young guy. He had been freed mysteriously. Now, if you don't have access to the Holy Ghost, that kind of person will just have problem for life. Maybe they can give him like 21 years in jail or something. So the Holy Spirit is a guardian. He guides. He leads. He instructs. We are not teaching that people should do the wrong thing. But what are we trying to say? A lot of times, the Holy Spirit is a merciful spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying here tonight? We are not saying that people should go and do bad things and all that. No. But some of the time, the mercy of God that comes via the inspiration of the Holy Spirit births deliverance for many. And you are the next to receive God's mercy in Jesus' name. Say a big amen. Number 5. I'm speaking on how to locate vision. I said number 1 is what? True inspiration. I can't hear you, beloved. True inspiration via the scriptures. Number two, see God in prayers. Number three, be watchful. Number four, as assessing the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Now, number five, you can also get vision and revelation through worship, regular worship, deep worship life. In John chapter 4, verse 24, the Bible says God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Every worshiper is a person, every true worshiper is a person of vision and revelation. If you are a true worshiper, you are a person of vision and you are a person of revelation. In 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15 to 17, you know the story very well of how Elisha received instruction through worship. He didn't know what to do. He said, get me a mistrel. Now bring me a mistrel. And it came to pass when the mistrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus hear the Lord, make the valley full of ditches and all that. You can read it when you get to him. I don't have time. Elisha did not know what next to do. He needed to do something. He said, for thus hear the Lord, you shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water that you may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. Water was needed. Solution was needed. Yet, things were very tough. He said, I don't know what to say, but get me somebody who knows how to worship very well. Get me somebody who knows how to praise God very well. And as the praiser went on, the Bible says, and as the praiser ministered and played, the Holy Spirit spoke, the Lord spoke, and said, this is what to do. Visions are birthed in the place of worship. And I will not be silent. I will always worship you. As long as I am breathing, I will always worship you. Receive my worship, all of my worship. Receive my worship, all of my worship. So worship brings vision. When you are a deep worshiper, you worship God on your knees. You worship him on your legs, on your feet. You worship him while driving. You worship him while cooking. You worship him in the toilet. You worship him while taking your bath. Just keep worshiping. You receive vision. You receive direction. You receive vision. You receive direction on what next to do, on the next step of your life. That is a worshiper here tonight. You are getting direction on the next step of your life. I say you are getting direction on the next step of your life. Never again will you be called stranded in the name of Jesus. Never again will you be termed stranded in the name of Jesus. The more you worship, the more you know what next to do. Life is never complicated for the true worshiper. Life is only complicated for the true complainer. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 10. Neither ye murmur as others murmured and were destroyed by the destroyers. Many visions, many lives have been destroyed, shattered, destabilized because of lack of worship, because of lack of praise. Many people will look at us and think that is it that we don't have what to preach? That's why we always, let me tell you, tonight, if we finish this sermon, if there's an opportunity to preach four more sermons, we can still preach it tonight without any sweat at all. So our worshiping and praising God is not an attempt to while away time. No. It's because that is what to do. To know what next to say. A lot of times, a lot of things that we say here are not the things that are in our manual. But the Holy Spirit inspires us because we have poured water on the ground so we can go on good ground. It's wisdom. a woman that wants something from her husband will first say something good. If you want something from your husband and you abuse him very well, you, this man with big head, you're very, very stupid. You don't even know what you are doing at all. Is this where your mates are supposed to be? You are very, very useless. Honestly, I regret ever knowing you in life. And after you finish, you say, please, my dear, actually my phone is bad. Please, can you help me change? He will tell you in your life, eh? if you ask me for phone again in your life, you just abuse me now. But when you go to him and you say, my darling, the sugar in my tea, I just, honestly, you are the most handsome man in this world. I'm very proud of you. Then when you now finish later, you now say, hey, actually, I need, say, hey, what do you say you need, self? Then yesterday, self, you said you needed something, Abby. And we are, gather everything together. Use calculators to calculate it. How much is it? I will wire it. I will wire it to you. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So it's very important when you come before God, it's not a routine to just say, lift up your hands and worship God. No, we must always be doing it. We must never be used to it. Now we now say, okay, I know the next thing pastor will say now, lift your hands and let's worship God. That's the next thing. After that, you say, yeah, let us dance and praise God. I know some people normally doubt on Wednesdays that this pastor, are you sure he's fasting at all? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Fasting and prayer does not disturb prayer. I know somebody here now among us here who has been fasting for the past 3 days without food. Among us here. And the person danced tonight. 3 days, no food. Among us here tonight. And the person danced very well. So it's not about the way we look at it sometimes. May the Lord give us understanding. I say, may the Lord give us understanding. Number 6, I believe. Am I correct? Number 6 is meekness. Meekness. If your desire is to get vision, you must be meek. Psalm 25 verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he show his ways. The meek, he will guide the meek in judgment. If you are not meek, meek doesn't mean weak. You are meek doesn't mean you are weak. You are meek means your heart is a heart that references God. Your heart is a heart that values God and values fellow human beings. You are meek in heart. You don't think of yourself as, oh, every other person is a useless person. Then I'm the only superior. No, that's pride. Meekness brings vision. When you are meek, God can easily, because God, Bible says God resists the proud. So when you are proud, God will not want to show you what to do. Because when he shows you, eventually you will say, I'm the one that did it. If not because I'm very, very handsome or I'm very, very beautiful, I won't be where I am today. But a meek person will say, if not for God, if not for God's grace, a meek person will wake up early in the morning and pray. A meek person will look for avenues during the day once, twice to pray, to worship. Because a proud person doesn't feel like, I say, I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like worshiping. You don't need to feel like, but because of the meekness of your heart, you go before your maker. That's what they call meekness. And this meekness makes God to speak to you. Say, my son, my daughter, this is the next thing to do. This is the next level of your life. This is the next plan to do. Start a business like this, or do this and or do that, or this is what I want you to do next in the ministry, this is what I want you to do next in family life. He will begin to speak to you because you are meek, because your heart is a submissive heart to his will. The proud cannot walk in vision because pride blocks access to revelation. Pride blocks access to revelation. Pride brings or blocks the access to revelation, blocks access to insight. A proud person cannot have insight into what next to do. They can't have access to inventions because God will not release it unto them. My prayer is that none here will be termed as proud in Jesus' name. And lastly, before we begin to pray. Note and write down the vision revealed to you. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2. Note it and write it down. Any vision that God gives to you, Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain, write it, make it plain upon the table that it may run that readeth it. Everyone must have a written vision for your life. When you have a written vision for your life, you know what to do. You know where to go. You know how to conduct yourself. Any vision that is unwritten is a vision that will most likely not come to pass.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org.